Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Ah, Clint Sterner run. The show Hughley B-Mac producing this bad boy. Welcome in to Lil Stern and Show. We've got the Hall of Famer, the General John McClain, joining us momentarily. Clint, I just want to tell you, we talked about your ex-teammate, your guy, a little bit earlier this week, Randall Cunningham. Happy birthday, 57 years old. And I want to say to you, man, I've just been watching some highlights of him because they, you know, put a highlight package with his birthday, wishing him happy birthday. I see where you're coming from when you say you think he can still throw at 80. I don't think he can still throw at 80 now. But some of these throws he made, off balance, flat-footed, backing away how far and how much he got on him. Yeah, he had a cannon on him that I guess maybe I didn't completely remember.
Chief, it's unfair, man. I'm telling you, the dude is it's and the thing is, didn't need to work out. My man was slow motion when he was coming in and out of the facility. He was one of those guys that you got to believe when he's 70, he's still gonna be able to sling that thing.
No, yeah, I get you. I thought you were just crazy and talking crazy the other day, but I'm looking at these highlights.
I may be a little bit of that, too.
But not on this. I'm looking at these highlights. I see what you're talking about, man. He just threw one 65 running away towards the sideline, and didn't get his feet set. Just ridiculous with the Eagles. John McClain brought to you by Horn Solutions. Hey, congratulations before we move forward. Congratulations, Mr. McClain. I know me and you have a lot of fun with each other, but – how many is your wedding anniversary? How many years have you and your wonderful bride been married?
Thank you very much, Ron. We were married 32 years yesterday. We were supposed to go to the Astros game to celebrate. Obviously, we couldn't, so we celebrated at home. We had Mexican food, margaritas, and watched a lot of great ball games and features from the past that have been on TV. I love so many of the things I'm seeing right now. And I've watched the first 100 years of the NHL, rewatched the two Bills on ESPN about Parcells and Belichick. They're showing some great games. I watched the Texans and the Raiders. I had taped the Texans and the Bills. And then I thought it was tremendous watching some of the great baseball games. I go over ESPN's got one coming up with the best 9-inning strikeout performances. Houstonian and Roger Clemens is in two of those. So there's some tremendous things on television, just like radio, without live performances. And so we watched a lot of that, had a great anniversary, and thank you very much again, Ron.
Hold on, Clint. Did she watch all of that with you?
Yeah. My wife's a huge sports fan.
Wow, man.
She's got season ticket package to the Astros, season ticket package to the Nationals, even though she's only been to two Nationals games. And I haven't been – she's from up there. That's why she has it. She's had it since they came back. But my wife's a big hockey fan too. Wow.
John, how do you like your margaritas, man? Frozen on the rocks, a little half and half, with or without salt? You like a little sugar? Tell me how you like your margaritas, man.
I like them however my wife makes them, Clint.
There you go. You're a smart man, boy. I tell you what.
Yes. That's what you learn in 32 years of marriage. However she makes them, they're good.
Clint, I can't even see 32 years. I've been nine, John. I can't even see 32 years. I've been nine. 32. Good God.
I had too many last night, and then I told her, whoa, put that one back in the jar. I said, I got it right tonight. and I don't want to be seeing two of everything. So I finished and had to do a mailbag that's posted on TexasSportsNation.com. And also, I got up this morning and I wrote something that's on Texas Sports Nation that's very near and dear to me. And it's not the column I wrote on the Texans about never playing Tom Brady again. It was the reminiscing about Jimmy Winn, the toy cannon, when I saw him at Colt Stadium for the first time in 1963 when he was a 21-year-old rookie and I was 11-year-old. And he wasn't a toy cannon then because he didn't do at nine home runs his first 2 years, but in his third year he broke out, was the Colt 45s and then the Astros' first slugger, and he was so short. He was probably about, they listed him 5'9 or 10, but that's with his cleats on, and because he's so small, he looked like us little league players. And in the old Colt Stadium, which was capacity was 33,000, it had big dimensions, though, a lot bigger than Minute Maid and the Astrodome. And it was so hot, and there were so many mosquitoes back then. As a little kid, you didn't care. But I remember my parents were always ready to go by the fifth inning, but they wouldn't do it because my brother and I wanted to stay. But the way the ballpark was set up, you know, it had no cover, no second deck. It was just one tier all around. The clubhouse was down the left field line, and players had to walk. If the fans went down there, had to walk by the fans to get to the clubhouse. So my dad would take us down there. And when that new player, Jimmy Winn, walked by, I told my dad, he said, he looks like he could play on our little league team. And so that kind of endeared me to him, as it did a lot of other kids. Then he became one of the best players in Astros history. And when I came to Houston to work for the Chronicle in 76. And one of the reasons I was so excited about my job was I'd get to go see more Astros games. And I went in one time and went up into the upper deck to see the toy cannon and Red Rooster seats painted because of two monster shots that Jimmy Winn and the Red Rooster, Doug Rader, third baseman, hit. And I wouldn't sit in them and desecrate them, but I sat by them. And I just turned and started reminiscing about being a kid going to Colt Stadium when my parents would bring us in the summer and then the Astrodome, and it was quite an experience. And I wrote about that today, and condolences to Jimmy Winn's, his wife, Marie, and his kids and grandkids.
Yeah, that's a wonderful story. John McClain joining us, brought to you by Horn Solutions. John, today we got to hear from Randall Cobb for the first time, and I'm curious, what caught your ears? Was there anything interesting that you heard from him today that caught your ears?
He knows that his name's going to be mentioned with DeAndre Hopkins, even though he's a slot receiver and DeAndre plays outside, and he's coming off a career-high 15.1 yards per catch, and that would have been by far the best for the Texans. Texans' best was Kenny Stills at 14. Fuller only averaged 13.7. And so they're going to give him an inside receiver. And I wrote about this week, Ron, about all the slot receivers that Bill O'Brien has had, beginning with Demaris Johnson in 2014. And, of course, they thought Kiki QT, after his rookie year, was going to win that position last year and keep it. And he got in the doghouse. And so Cobb is an inside receiver who might be able to help Deshaun Watson. I'm writing a column Sunday about what's going to have to happen. You can't replace the irreplaceable, but it's going to be up to Watson and Tim Kelly, first-time play caller, to spread that ball around. And I would venture right now to say that the two backs, Johnson and Johnson, David and Duke, will have more catches for more yards than any twosome in the league. And I tweeted this out today when I found it. If you go back to 2000, of all the running backs in the league with at least 65 career catches, Johnson's 10.7 yard per catch average is number one in the league. And so he and Duke, who had a good first season with the Texans, together last year, they had 80 catches, so I'm guessing they're going to have well over 100. And another thing about David Johnson, who was acquired to replace Carlos Hyde, is in his four healthy seasons, 2017 was wiped out because of a wrist injury. In those four seasons, because he's such a good receiver, he's averaged 12 touchdowns in those four seasons. And I'm curious, I'm going to look up at some point how many players have averaged 12 touchdowns a season in their last four healthy seasons, and I'll bet it's not many. But that's something I'm writing about Sunday, and Cobb's a big part of it.
John, Ron and I talked about this earlier, man, I think the more you look into what Cobb brings to the table and you really listen to what he had to say in a couple of the different audio sound bites there, he sounds like he's anxious to help Deshaun Watson. And when I think about a slot receiver – that's experienced and been down, you know, played with the quarterbacks that he's played with, has had that kind of success. The more I look into it, the more I really like the possibility of that experienced veteran slot being able to really take control of, not take control, but just take command of, hey, man, you know, if they're blitzing or if they're bringing pressure and they're bringing four to my side, I'm not asking you for the ball. I'm telling you to give me the ball. And let's keep the drive alive.
That would be nice for them to have. They've tried young guys. They've tried older guys. But nobody has been able to consistently produce from that spot. Now, they've used Hopkins and Fuller and Stills. They've moved everybody around. And they will continue to do that. But Cobb, being an experienced hand, you know, he said in there, you know, he went to the playoffs his first 6 years, I think, and then with the Packers. And then in his last 2 years, remember, the Packers missed the playoffs. Then he goes to the Cowboys last year, and they missed the playoffs. So he's eager to get back, and he's coming to a team that's been in the playoffs for the last 5 years. And he knows he's 29 years old. He's getting up there, and he doesn't have a whole lot of chances to get back to the playoffs. So I think for what they want, Cobb is a slot receiver. I think it's a good move. I think it's the best free agent acquisition because they haven't had many free agent acquisitions. And I think Watson, once he gets to work with him, whenever that'll be, will like him a lot because people, Green Bay and Dallas, but he was only at Cowboys for a year, say nothing but good things about his work ethic and the kind of person he is.
John McClain with us, the Hall of Famer. Well, with that, do you see with the amount of money they spent on him, and it seems like there's an emphasis here, do you think the slot position will have more priority or will look different than we've seen in the past?
Only if he plays there most of the time. The problem with lining up guys in the same spot all the time, you're playing into the defense's hands, so he'll move around. But if the season started tomorrow, it'd be Fuller and Stills outside, assuming Fuller was healthy, and then they would have Cobb in a slot and David Johnson be the running back, rotating my mind's gone blank with Johnson. That's why I say Johnson and Johnson. And then Darren Fells be the tight end, and they got those other tight ends. So they'd still have some weapons. And then I'm sure that first pick in the second round, eighth overall, is going to come in and going to be a receiver. So you don't know if he'll be inside or outside. I would imagine it's going to be the best receiver they have on their board when they make the 40th overall pick, and there should be some really good ones. And it would behoove the Texans, of course, if teams that want a receiver near the bottom of the first round would say, wow, since this is such a deep draft for receivers, we'll just take this other position and get the receiver in the second round. And that would push guys down that would give them more options. But if you had the first three, Fuller, Stills, Cobb, and the eighth pick in the second round, that would be your top four. They have not given up on Kiki QT, and they re-signed DeAndre Carter, also plays in the slot. And it wouldn't surprise me if they don't sign another veteran. It doesn't cost much money because there's a lot of veteran players still out there hoping to get more money, but reality will hit them in the face at some point, and they'll realize, and it might be June or July, I better take this deal. So I think they'll still have another one, and who knows, one of their eight picks might even be another receiver.
John McClain is with us, and just settle in, folks. He's going to be with us the rest of this hour. And I want to use something you said. On the other side, I want to see, should the Texans maybe even talk about the thought that you just gave? Should they, with two second-round picks, maybe not select – the wide receiver on the first pick at pick 40. I want to get your thoughts on that. We come back, and remember, folks, the best way to listen to us here is go ahead and download the radio.com app and search in Sports Radio 610. It is the best way to listen for morning, midday, afternoons. And if you have Alexa, just shout out to Alexa. Hey, tell her to play Sports Radio 610. It is the best way to listen to us. John McClain, more John McClain coming up next. Clint Sterner, Ron, the show, Hughley in. John McClain is with us the entire hour. John McClain is brought to you by Horn Solutions. And, John, you just brought this up. You were saying there are a lot of teams in the first round that, because the receiver draft is so deep, that may go with other needs. I've seen a lot of teams that need receiver in the first round have gone tackle in a lot of mock drafts because the receiver class is so deep. Well, with the Texans now having two second-round picks, is there a thinking that they should potentially do that, not draft the receiver at 40, maybe fill one of those other needs like pass rush and corner, and there, and then because the draft is so deep, maybe take receiver later? I feel like we're about to get a real aggressive response to this from John McClain. Go ahead, John.
Ron, they could do that, but right now when you could, they have to have a receiver there. And here's why. It's not like Will Fuller and Kenny Stills are healthy all the time. It's not like Randall Cobb's healthy all the time. Fuller, you know, is not just missing five games last year. It's 14 games the last 2 years, 20 the last 3 years. And even though it's the last year of his contract, it would behoove him to stay healthy, and he would have such an impact on the offense down the field. You can't count on it. So they got to get a receiver there because it's 17 places later that they pick. I think they're going to be able to get a guy. Look at like A.J. Brown last year. The Titans was 51st pick. There were better receivers taken after the first round and in the third round than there was the first round. And I think they got to get one there. Their second biggest need to me is an inside pass rusher, not a nose tackle. They can get a nose tackle like they got D.J. Reader in the fifth round. And then a cornerback. When they re-signed Roby and they re-signed Hargraves and they made that trade for Hopkins, that changed their priorities from a corner number one to a receiver number one. And I think the second pick, 57th overall, will be the highest rated inside pass rusher or corner, whichever one is there. And then they also have a three and a four, but who knows? They might take two corners before it's over. They might take two wide receivers before it's over. But the positions, we know they have to have a wide receiver, defensive lineman who can rush, a cornerback, and a nose tackle, and that gives them four other picks, including three in a seventh round. I think they'll still sign some more free agents, just nobody costs a lot of money.
John, before we get too far away from Fuller, I wanted to one of the sound bites that from Cobb this morning was about the fact that he discovered some issues with his hamstring, or some answers for his hamstring problems while he was in Dallas. Do you think that's something, am I making too much of that, could possibly be something that could help Fuller as well?
Well, I would think this, if they had answers to hamstrings in Dallas, whoever has them would be a multi billionaire. Can't be Jerry Jones because he's already a multi billionaire. But anybody that had an answer like that, bottle it and sell it. So whatever worked for him in Dallas worked for Cobb because he had hamstring issues too. And whatever it is, maybe he can sprinkle a little of it on Fuller and Stills and avoid some of those hammy problems that have affected the Texans, even though they've tried every single thing they possibly know to try to avoid those issues.
John McClain with us, brought to you by Horn Solutions. John, I want to try this again because last week we talked and you said you weren't surprised from any of the free agents that signed that the Texans weren't involved with it because you thought about their budget, how they were going to spend, and what they were looking for. We've seen now some other veteran wide receivers that seem to be pretty cost effective. Robbie Anderson goes for 2 years, $20 million, only 12 that we know of right now guaranteed. Emmanuel Sanders went for 2 and 16 to the Saints. And then I know Clint thought was very intriguing. Rashad Perryman goes for 1 year and $6 million guaranteed to the Jets. Are you surprised at all that the Texans weren't involved in any of those guys?
No, not after they signed Randall Cobb. And teams are doing that because the draft is so good for receivers, not just good at the top, good all the way down. I've never seen so many receivers. A lot of that has to do with they start playing 7-on-7 at early age. Colleges throw the ball so much. I'm always wondering why there aren't better corners coming in the NFL because they get so many chances to cover receivers, unless those corners used to be receivers. But it's to me kind of a mystery. And so I think because of that, teams were not going to spend lavishly. They weren't going to make trades and stuff like that. But a lot of those guys got to be unhappy at what they were getting. Sanders, of course, is older, so that was to be expected. Perryman had been a disappointment until he got to play last year because of injuries and did well. And then Robbie Anderson getting $10 million a year, I think that's pretty good for him, although he's a good deep threat, and the Jets didn't always utilize him right. But I think most people rather have the guy that they're going to be able to control in the draft 4 or 5 years.
John, talking about the draft, man, are you surprised that Roger Goodell has said that as of right now, everything's all go ahead with the date, the original scheduled dates, and to the point where, I thought what I found really interesting was kind of his comments on the back end of it where he essentially just said, hey, look, I'm not going to tolerate any public discussions of issues related to the draft. Sir, it serves no purpose, no useful purpose, and is grounds for disciplinary action. Are you surprised the draft is going ahead as scheduled? And are you surprised that Goodell appears to be pretty aggressive in tempering the conversations around it?
I was surprised about that part because several personnel people and GMs had said they thought it should be pushed back. And I'm thinking, okay, why? People said they should push back free agency. They didn't, and it's been great for sports, great for sports fans, great for the NFL. I don't see people whining that they had free agency. And here's the deal about the draft. I know people will find this hard to believe. There was a time when it was not on television for decades. There was a time when there was no combine. There were no pro days. There were no private workouts. When the scouts and coaches had to go by what they saw on tape. The tape doesn't lie. You got game tape of everything a player did. You can get practice tape. If you want to talk to them, say, Clint, you were still at Arkansas and these circumstances were going on. And so they call you and say, okay, Clint, we want to get you on Skype to talk to our team. We're going to have a grease board behind you. We're going to throw you some situations up there. You'd say, yes, sir. You'd talk to them. You'd answer every question. You'd diagram plays. They can do that now. Why do they have to be sitting in the same room with them? I'm tired of all this whining by personnel people acting like, woe is us. We don't get to have pro days. The ones that should be whining are the guys that didn't get to go to the combine. The guys that were going to use those pro days to show what they could do. Now they're going to have to do videos like Tua Tagovailoa is doing and put it out there, put out by their agents. So, and okay, here he is doing this drill, this drill, this drill. Those are the guys that should be complaining because of their missed opportunity. But if you can scout, you ought to be able to scout under these circumstances. And the ones that do the best job usually are the ones that are going to do the best job now. And the ones that don't do a good job usually are going to be the ones that don't do a good job now.
John McClain with us the entire 4 o'clock hour. Off of that, we had a discussion earlier about this, and I know you don't mince words, so I'm interested in your thoughts on this. Kirk Herbstreit, one of the real big voices in college football, he came out and he said he cannot see a way that we'll be able to play college football or NFL in 2020. He doesn't see that the vaccines will be found fast enough for the coronavirus that we may potentially miss both of those seasons. Do you think that, do you see that as a possibility?
With all due respect to Kirk Herbstreit, who is one of my favorites, I don't know how he could know that. He's guessing. I read everything I can get my hands on from the experts, sports, non-sports, and right now nobody knows. And they're preparing for every possibility. They're preparing for the possibility to not have seasons, to not have the NBA and the NHL and major soccer and all those other sports, baseball, because that is a possibility. And one problem we have, everybody knows you're supposed to try to stay indoors. You're supposed to stay 6 feet from people. And there's a lot of people that don't. I was reading a story in the Chronicle today about all these businesses that consider themselves essential. And I'm feeling bad for all these others that do what they're supposed to do and shut down, and then others don't. And that's not fair. Liberty University has told students and teachers to come back. How stupid is that? What if a teacher says, hey, the Center for Disease Control says don't be in crowds. Don't be in crowds. Even Trump says don't be in groups of more than 10. And here these morons are telling them all to come back. I can't remember which governor I just read told everybody to come back to work. And I'm thinking, as long as we have nincompoops like that who are not adhering to what all the experts say, then it's going to be a while before it's not a threat, and it might indeed wipe out our seasons. And it's because I read a big story 2 days ago in the New York Times. If everybody would stay indoors for 2 weeks, it would be gone. But it's not going to happen.
John McClain, letting it all hang out. I hadn't heard anybody call that in a long time. In a long time. What is it again? What you say?
Nincompoops.
Yeah, I hadn't heard that in a long time. John McClain, unloading on people. More John McClain coming up. He's with us the entire 5 o'clock hour. I need John to explain and maybe help me and Clint get to something. Because we're having a hard time seeing what the plan is for the Texans. What with their offseason moves, what the overall plan is for the organization. We're going to see if John McClain can help us with that coming up next. Yeah, Clint Sterner, Ron, the show, Hughley filling in. We are joined by John McClain, brought to you by Horn Solutions. We always enjoy when John McClain is with us. Clint, we need John to help us out with this one. We didn't have conversations all week. We had an extensive conversation yesterday about trying to figure out what the plan is going forward with what the Texans are doing. I said after the DeAndre Hopkins trade, I said I'm going to wait before I react to see what the complete plan is. And then we started hearing a bunch of things this week that have come out, and we didn't have it. Neither one of us had an understanding of what it is. John, can you potentially explain to us maybe what the Texans' game plan is moving forward?
The game plan is simple. They've got Tim Kelly calling plays for the first time for Bill O'Brien. He's got David Johnson and Duke Johnson at running back. Both of those guys are outstanding receivers. I believe, based on what Cardinals people have told me, that if Johnson stays healthy, he'll fit into O'Brien's system, and I think he'll be better than Carlos Hyde, certainly better receiver. And I bet Johnson has a good season. 2 years ago, when people said he did not have a good season, he scored 10 touchdowns. He is a red zone machine. And so the wide receivers, we've talked about the three. The offensive line should be vastly improved. The only position in the line they need to upgrade is right guard with Zach Fulton. Right now they haven't shown that they can do that. All the improvements need to be made on defense because they're not going to replace Hopkins with one player. Cobb wasn't signed to replace him. David Johnson wasn't acquired to replace him. It's going to have to be a group thing. This is what I'm writing about Sunday, and they'll rely on Deshaun Watson, a great quarterback, to spread the ball around and utilize the weapons. And there's more, I believe, on the way in the draft, maybe another low-cost free agent. And so from here on out, other than getting that receivers, they need to fortify the defense. The defense needs big-time improvement. And they need those guys to stay healthy. And the plan is try to win the division for the fifth time in 6 years and see if they can go back to Arrowhead Stadium, build another 24-point lead, not choke it.
What, John, what is it that what leads you to believe that using the running backs more is a direction they want to go? Other than, obviously, you traded one of the best receivers in the league for a running back that has had some success in the past.
Well, that wasn't a plan when they traded Hopkins. The plan is when you see that David Johnson is an outstanding receiver who has an average per catch better than any back in the league going back to 2000. You'd be stupid not to utilize him as a receiver. Duke Johnson did a really good job coming off the bench as a receiver. Carlos Hyde had 10 catches for 42 yards. So based on what they have, I can see them utilizing the receivers more, especially down the field. Duke's average is 9.3, and David's is 10.7. And then those other receivers are going to have to step up, and that's what you can't count on. Can't count on Fuller to stay healthy. Steele's had 40 catches. He's had more at different times in his career. He missed three games, too. As we talk, Cobb had problems with hamstrings till he got to Dallas. Maybe he's figured it out and won't have any more bad luck. And that's why the rookie they bring in is going to have to be ready to play, because he's going to get to play. And the problem is you might not have an off-season program. You might not have much of a training camp. They might have to push the season back, which they could. It's no problem pushing playoffs and a Super Bowl back like it is for, say, baseball, playing outdoors. But that's the plan. They know they better get better on defense, or they're going to be in a situation like they were before, where you'd have to outscore a lot, score a whole lot of points to win.
John McClain with us, presented by Horn Solutions. John, when we talk about the plan here, I'd say this is my thought. When the season ended and they lost to the Chiefs, my thought was, okay, this is a team that is a Super Bowl contender. When you look at, they have an elite quarterback. They have great skill, a lot of good skill positions, players. When you got Hopkins and Fuller and all that crew, and they just have to add some pieces together. I felt like this was a Super Bowl contending team. Now, as we look here today on March 27th, I think it's fair for a lot of fans and a lot of fans that I've talked to that look at the Texans and don't think that they are still in that range of competing for a championship. And that's where I'm wondering, where a lot of people feel like they don't understand the plan. It feels like that's not how they're operating in terms of, well, we want to win a championship.
Well, first of all, they don't make moves based on, hey, we don't want to win a championship, so let's do this. Obviously, Bill O'Brien's got a plan. I don't know what it is. We haven't talked to him. We'll ask him when we finally get him. I didn't think they were a Super Bowl contender last year. I said it. I wrote it over and over. But as the way things broke with the Titans beating Baltimore and New England, had they not blown that 24-point lead at Kansas City, they would have hosted AFC Championship game for the first time in as a Texans franchise with a team that they could have beaten. So then they would have been a Super Bowl contender at that point in the playoffs. I don't think they'd be a Super Bowl contender this year. I don't think they can beat the Chiefs in a playoff game, although they were in position to do it. I don't think the Patriots are an issue now, but you know, they'll have to improve in a whole lot of areas. They'll have to make up for the loss of Hopkins. But at this point, they're not a better offense, and they're not a better team without Hopkins. And they still got a lot of ways to improve, to go to improve in the draft, and maybe with some more low-cost free agent signings to try to be even as good as last year. And a lot of that will have to do with what happens in Tennessee and Indianapolis.
John, how good do you think this offensive line can be? Every time I look at something, and I know you talked about it a little bit earlier, but every time I look at a draft or a strength weakness chart or whatever, O-line is always in the conversation of a need for the Texans. And I'd make Fulton maybe not be the answer, may or may not be the answer at right guard. But I mean, this offensive line across the board has got a chance to be pretty solid, don't they? Am I missing something?
No, you're not, Clance. The best I should be. Now, remember, at this time last year, they didn't have Tunsil. They didn't have Max Sharping. They didn't have Titus Howard. They had Nick Martin, and they had Zach Fulton. And so they got moved around a lot. Remember, Howard played three positions. Sharping played three positions. Yep. And then they finally settled on their five, and then Tunsil came in late. So it stands to reason, assuming they have some kind of off-season program or training camp, and the line needs it more than any area on the team, assuming that they, when they do get together, they'll be better than last season, just because familiarity with each other, you know how much those guys rely on communication, familiarity with Mike Devlin and what he wants from them as far as his system, familiarity with not, they're not going to be familiar with David Johnson, but Carlos Hyde fit right in. So they should definitely be better up front. And Deshaun Watson, going into his fourth season, should be better at not at limiting some of the sacks that he caused by holding the ball. And so, yes, they should be better than they were last year. The only other time since O'Brien's been here they were better was in his first year when they had their guys set across the board, and then Chris Myers quit and retired, and then Brandon Brooks didn't like playing for O'Brien. So he went to Philadelphia, and everybody felt so bad for Derek Newton, his career ending with injuries. And then Dwayne Brown in 2017, Rick Smith wouldn't redo his contract with 2 years, and he got traded. So it took them a while to put these positions together, but the line should be even better than last season when it was vastly improved from the year before.
John, I need a little bit more definitive about the offensive line. Is this offensive line, because I think you compare it to the other offensive lines that we've seen in the last 5 years with the Texans, and they have struggled. Is this an offensive line potentially coming in next year that is a good offensive line for the Texans and what we've seen from them historically in the last 5 years, or is this a potential good offensive line for any team in the league? Like, they could be a top half offensive line for anybody.
Well, top half of the league, maybe that means they could slip into number 16, and it's possible. But I think missing so much time in offseason, if they don't have an offseason program, maybe training camp's going to be 2 or 3 weeks, they would be the ones that would be affected the most. There's no doubt in my mind they'll be better than last season. And last season, they were better than the year before. But as far as how they would stack up against the other teams, you know, that depends. And we're going to have to see that first and foremost, because we could guess at it. But seeing is believing. I know it has the potential of being better than last year. Where it stacks up against other offensive lines, I don't know. Have a clue at this point.
Good thought. All right, I need you to help me out with something real quick, because Clint, you know, I don't know. I don't want Clint to be taking me to some neighborhood bar and grill. I need you to help me out. You're damn right we're going here. But we got a bet. You know what? You don't even have to give your analysis, because I'm pretty sure that I'm right here. We made a bet.
All right, you're right.
we talked to Daniel Jeremiah yesterday, and he of course, went with my thought. Justin Herbert, I think somebody is going to panic. By the way, Clint's just not real high on this young man. But I think somebody's going to panic and draft him in the top 10. And we made a stake bet, a good stake bet, that I said, oh, yeah, he's getting drafted in the top 10. Clint said he doesn't really see it. Clint said he'll take me out to a nice spot in Houston. Where is a good place? I need to know the best places to get a steak in Houston to make sure Clint don't take me somewhere where I'm not getting my money's worth.
Well, make him take you to good company. I mean, Papa Steakhouse on Westheimer. It's great. It's also really expensive, right, and you want to make him pay dearly, and you're going to be right. Let me tell you guys something about Justin Herbert.
Yes.
There's a good friend of mine who used to be with the Titans and the Astros, Jimmy Stanton, who works at the University of Oregon. And he started telling me about Herbert when he was a junior, about what a great guy he was, how much everybody liked him, how tough he was, how well he moved, what the coaches thought about him. And I said, well, he's going to come out because he got a chance to be a top pick. He said, no, I think he's coming back for his senior year. And he did go back to his senior year. And he impressed everybody up there even more. And, you know, the guy's almost 6'6". He's a really good runner. He's tough. He's got a good arm. I don't like quarterbacks that wear headbands. Not headband. What's the thing women use to pull their hair back? Clint, you would know. You used to have to do that. And it just bothers me when I see quarterbacks that do that. But I think because of his size, his arm, his intelligence, the fact that he comes across really well when people talk to him, his experience of staying in school another year, I'll guarantee he's going to be drafted in the top 10. And Ron, you're going to get that big juicy steak. And if I can figure out a place that's more expensive, I'll let you know.
Yeah, because I'm looking at the website right now.
Look at you two.
Don't let him take you to one of his favorite steak places over in Baytown, because it's probably going to cost about half of what it'd be in Houston.
Yeah, baby, it'd be tough as a $2 steak. There ain't no doubt about it. Hey, look, here's the deal. What about Brady? It's something that we really know a little something about. What about Brady going to Tampa? How do you think that ends up working out, John?
Well, I wrote a column today about if Texans will be playing the Patriots this year here, and it'll only be the second time they don't have to go to against Brady. First time was prime time, Jacoby Brissett in 2016, was Brady was suspended and Garoppolo was hurt, and they got shut out. So now they're going to be going against Jared Stidham or Brian Hoyer. Won't be Cody Kessler. Maybe they get a veteran cheap. I'd love to see Cam Newton or Jameis Winston go up there for a year for not much money. So that's going to be very interesting. And Brady, I can't wait till the first game he's in prime time. I want to see him. I think it'd be so much fun. There's such a vibe there. I have friends that work for the Buccaneers, including their VP of communications, Nelson Lewis, who was with the Rockets for 12 years. There is a big-time buzz there, like it was when John Gruden came there from Oakland and they won a Super Bowl. Brady's going to be on the maximum number of primetime games, nationally televised games. I think it's great. It'll be better with his new destination than it would have been going back to New England without a lot of talent, because he has got some talent around him.
I'm interested what you thought about this, John. I looked at Fox Bet. We talked about this yesterday. They still have Jared Stidham, Brian Hoyer as the quarterbacks. They still have the New England Patriots as the favorites to win the AFC East.
Well, that's just because of Bill Belichick. And I'll say this about Stidham. He threw more passes last year, four, than Tom Brady threw his rookie year. And then Brady had to play because of Drew Bledsoe's injury, and the rest is history. I'm not saying that's going to happen with Stidham. Here's what I know about Jared Stidham. He's married to Kennedy Brown, a Baylor soccer player. He met as a freshman, the daughter of Tad Brown, the Rockets president. They've been in love since they first got to Baylor. I remember Tad. I was talking to him. I said, how's Kennedy doing at Baylor? She said, she's doing really well. She met some guy, some football player. I think she said his name was Jarrett. And I said, Jarrett Stidham, the quarterback? He said, yeah, that's it. I said, well, Art Briles told me he could be the best quarterback he's ever coached. I said, you better tell her to keep him. And she did. They got married last June. And now Jarrett Stidham could be replacing Tom Brady. So if Bill Belichick thinks he can play, that's good enough for me.
I guess. All right. I looked up this website, and these steaks look salivating. And Clint, he ain't lying about the price on them, baby. That's what I'm talking about. See, that's
great
what you
food.
Need,
hey, Ron, it's great food, great desserts, great sides. Tell them to give you one of the private rooms where the tables are bigger, and you can add
damn,
more food.
John, easy, John. You're overspending my damn money.
But you just let him talk, Clint. Let him talk, pal. Private rooms, bigger tables. Let's go.
I don't want to be in no damn private room. Private
great
room.
Great wine
with,
list, too, Ron.
Oh, great wine list.
Yeah.
Okay.
Check out
all
that
right.
wine list.
I'm going to put you in a private room with show. That's what I'm going to do, John.
All right, John McClain, thank you so much. We always enjoy our time with you.
Ron and Clint, thank you guys very much. Have
yes,
a good
sir.
Weekend, and please stay safe and practice that 6-foot, no crowd rule. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Man, this is this really got away from you, Clint. I mean, this is happening. That's two people right now. Two people. Daniel Jeremiah yesterday, Hall of Famer. John McClain.
Yeah, hey, Daniel Jeremiah didn't want to do it. Daniel Jeremiah has him ranked as the 20th best. 20th best on his list, and he's got him in the top 10.
Hey, can I tell you a secret, Clint? I think that's too high. I don't think he's the 20th best player in this draft.
He ain't going to go in the top 10 either.
Yeah, okay. You don't even believe this at this point.
That's
you don't
right.
at all.
I'm going to get – hey, I'm Papa's Steakhouse. Get the hell out of here, McClain. Talking about Papa's Steakhouse. Dang, I ain't even taking my lady there yet. You tell me I'm gonna go pop a steakhouse. Your old tired ass. I'm gonna take your old tired ass Roadhouse.
The hell you are. The hell you are. And shout out, by the way, Texas Roadhouse, shout out to the guy in Houston, man. He gave his entire salary to all his employees. I read that yesterday. So shout out to him.
You have it.
So you know what? You can take – no, you can't take me there, baby. You can take me there another time. But for this bet, I like this. Papas, that sounds great. That sounds great. Coming up, 5 o'clock fire. We got that fire coming for you to end the week. That's coming up next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.